So, Father God, thank you. This is just such a gentle presence today, this morning. It's just, you just want to lay down somewhere and just enjoy it. It's, Father, just thank you for your just this gentle presence this morning. With this loving heart of Father. But you just want to impress your people. Lord, this is such a big subject. We're talking about knowing God. And I almost feel I'm not qualified for it. But Father, just help me to share just our relationship with you. And how we chat to each other and how we just walk together. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Ah, oh, I'm a mess now. What I've been asked to share and what is part of our series is knowing God. I'm not really good with the slides, so I didn't prepare any slides. I'm kind of old school. I'm just at the stage now where I can type my preaching. Normally I write it down with a pencil and stuff and a highlighter. And so I'll try to stick to it. I don't know how it's going to work. It never worked before, but probably today it will work. So knowing God is quite a big subject. It's kind of deep subject. And to cover it in about half an hour or 40 minutes is practically impossible. But hopefully tonight, today I'm hoping, what I'm hoping for is to have a needle scratch on the surface. That's it. And then it will set you off in your own walk with God, in your own relationship with God. And most of you, you know God by now, you know, when you have relationship with Him. But I just want to encourage you and just maybe share some testimonies from my personal experience, my personal life, and read some stuff from the Bible as well, some good scriptures. But the whole Bible is brilliant, but you know, and I'm kind of like, when I'm preparing just praying and thinking, God, which scripture? This is so good, and this is so good, and this is so good. I could just end up reading you scripture after scripture for hours. God is so good. It's all about relationship. The whole gospel is about relationship. But today I want to just kind of like bring it, some of you will remember this, some of you won't, because you're too young. Like my sons, they won't remember it, but they saw it only in the shop. Do you remember those dial-up phones? Oh, they were brilliant, you know, the one... takes ages to dial the number, and so I was born in Ukraine, so our number was a bit different. Your number is 999 or something, yeah, for emergency. Our number is now, but in Ukraine it's 010203, so this different numbers you call. So can you imagine if you're in emergency, you have to, and it goes back again. So I was so excited. I was about maybe 7 years old, and this excitement was going on in our school, and he's saying, oh, and you know, they were installing those phone lines, and they were just going street after street. So in our small town, my friends of mine, they were saying, oh, we had the phone installed in our house. Do we have it? No, not yet. We have the phone. My dad brought it home, you know, this kind of old square thing with the thingy attached to it. And you know, and he's saying, oh, what's your number? I don't have number yet. I still remember the number. It never changed for years. I still remember the number. That's funny, isn't it? So some things just stays with you. Experience stays with you. We like communicating with each other. That's why we like phones. That's why we like digital world, kind of like Viber, if you know what I'm talking about, or Skype. I use it very often for video calls. We like communication. It doesn't always work right because of the Wi-Fi or because something else or because the line is really bad. It doesn't work right, but we like communicating with each other. You know, and I remember those days, and friends of mine would come and say, have you got it? I said, yes, I have it connected. Let's call each other. See, we would just chat to each other for hours about nothing. You know, and sometimes I would just leave my phone there, and my dad or mom comes and say, why did you not put phone down properly? Oh, I forgot. I was talking to my friend, and we were in the chat, and then you called me for dinner, and I forgot. So the phone was still on. And everybody could hear everything was going on in the house. You know, I remember those days, it was quite fun when you would, to start with, you were connected with your neighbor. They call it parallel call. So when the phone rang, It could be for your neighbor, it could be for you. Depending on your relationship with the neighbor, he could have been a secretary for you, just taking a message when you're not at home. Or sometime when you're dialing 0103 or something, or outside of the town, you would dial it and the neighbor would ring, he would pick it up. I'll say, no, now I have to redial it again. He's not calling. So we soon discovered then it was separated. And you know, nowadays it's a Facebook and all that stuff, so we connect with each other. Sometime when I call my office, when I work at work, I call from a digital phone and somebody answers another phone on the other line, and you're just thinking, I can't hear you at all. Can you put the volume up? So all these technical issues, why am I getting with this? I would like to use this as an illustration. You know, when I'm calling my wife, I don't expect the man from the street to answer the phone. I expect my wife to answer the phone. When I call my mom to Ukraine or my brother, I expect to see him on the other side. Our relationship with God or knowing God is a bit like that. You know, when you know somebody on the other side, you expect him to answer and you expect that person to be there. You know, when you're calling in some kind of school or whatever you're calling to, you're calling and you're just calling, you don't know the person. You know, it's awkward to start talking about something really personal to the person you don't know. I don't know about you, but about me, I can't just open up my heart to anybody. Just, you know, I met somebody on the other line on the phone, I don't know even the person, and I start talking about personal stuff. No. But when I talk to my brother, we have a connection from my childhood. When I talk to my mom, we have things to talk about that I don't talk about with other people. I know the person on the other side. Knowing God is like knowing a person on the other side of the line. You pick up the phone and you know he's going to answer. You know it's your God is going to answer. You know he is there for you. I love this place of scripture. I know there's maybe a different context for it, but I would like to read this to you because it's so beautiful here. You know, it's Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9. Genesis 3, verse 8 and 9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of their Lord God as he was walking in a garden in the cool of the day. I know it's about the fall of man and stuff like that. That's the background of it. But this touches me. Listen to this again. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of... What a description! He was walking in the garden on the cool of a day. It wasn't something unusual they haven't done before. I know Bible doesn't say it, but I'm kind of reading between the lines. It's nothing unusual they haven't done before. Can you imagine God coming to Adam and he's talking to him, perhaps as a friend, perhaps as a father, teaching him things, how to look after the garden. He didn't just create man and chuck him in the garden and say, that's it, look after it. I can imagine they had a long discussions about things. When Moses went on the mountain, they had face-to-face discussion with God for 40 days. He spent ages there. That's how we got the Bible, the first five books to start with. That's how we know how he used to walk with Adam. What if Moses saw it, how he was? What if God showed this to him? Can you imagine it? What I'm trying to bring is Bible as a living book. It's not just a book, it's a living story. As a living God is in it. Can you imagine it? So we used to walk in the cool of the day. And all of a sudden, and then he says, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So, this is a scene, yeah? God walks and he wants to talk to him. And saying, Adam, where are you? Oh dear, I need to hide. I'm naked. I'm naked. And I'm afraid of it. Don't know what he discovered. I'm afraid of it, I'm hiding from you because I'm ashamed. I mean, think logically, how would you know that you're naked if it's only two of you created on earth? And nobody explained it to you that you're naked. It's interesting how the Satan says, you know, earlier when he tempts them, Adam and Eve, it wasn't actually Eve, it was man and woman. She only became Eve later on. 3:20 was explicit. Adam actually called her Eve later on. But anyway, so he's saying, is it right that you're going to die? It's not, is it? You're just going to know good and evil. Well, they knew good already. What is Satan saying? You will know me. What is evil? And that's how sin came in. But that was the point. What happened there? God used to talk to Adam. Jesus often talked to Father. Moses talked to God, as I said. Thing will happen as well is Adam used to see God face to face with his eyes, physical eyes. He used to hear God with his physical ears. Fear was discovered. There was no fear in the world. They were not afraid of anything. I mean, just to prove it, I'm here to prove it. When I see snake, I freak out. They talk to the snake, you know. Death to his physical body came. And this is amazing, because when you're in the presence of a life, God is life, you won't see death. Because there is no death. What could hurt you if you're in the presence of light? As soon as they were separated from that life, they became mortal. Their body became mortal. Pain came into human being, because after the fall, it was said, woman will bring child in pain. There was no pain before that. Shame came. They hid because they were naked. I believe the senses were also affected when they tasted the fruit, because it's something you taste. Genesis 5:24. This is another amazing story. I'm just going to read it to you. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Name Enoch means dedicated and consecrated. How beautiful is that? First part of his name, dedicated, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then consecrated because God took him away and he was no more. Separated for God? It doesn't remind you of anything. I think it's prophetical portrait of Jesus. You know, when I read Bible, I see Jesus everywhere in the Bible as a prophecy of what is to come. It's kind of like lined up. You know, when God spoke to Moses and he said to him, build the tabernacle, he was dwelling in the tabernacle among his people for the first time in many, many years, in hundreds of years. Do you see his burning desire to be with these people that he created? He wants to have a communication. He wants you to come to know him, to be with him. So he was living in the tabernacle, but he was amongst the people. He was normally amongst the camp, right in the midst of the camp of Israelites. That was holy of holy place, when he wanted to meet face to face again with somebody, with the higher priest. How amazing is that? I think it's amazing. As time went by, humankind had grown distant from God. More and more, there's insecurity, fear, rejection, pride, and sin stood between God and humanity. It separated them. You know, at the moment we see destruction and everything else. And it's a fact, a post-effect after the sin. But there is hope, there is Christ. I'm going to get to that as well. God revealed himself to Moses in the tabernacle, as I said. But there was still sin keeping people from God. What I'm telling you at the moment is, I know you heard about this probably many times, but this is a redemption story. This is the fall. This is the beginning, how it happened. God spoke face to face to human, but then he was seeking for the different ways to bring man back to God, to restore the relationships that they were there, ruined in the beginning. So this is a journey. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, Bible says, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is comparing Adam and Christ. Why? Because if sin came through Adam, the door of salvation had to come through somebody else, in the same level. That's the secret why Christ was born. That is amazing. Imagine that. There's a spiritual side of that, that Adam walked, saw God, and he was exposed to spiritual world. There was no strange to it. It's strange for us to even be aware of spiritual world. It's strange. To people, when you start talking about angels or God or something else on the street, not many people actually can comprehend it, can understand what's going on. They're not aware of spiritual world. But there is a spiritual world. And that's what happened. Sin corrupted spiritual world. Man became corrupted in his spirit. And obviously his sins as well. So what happened? God had a plan. God came and became a human being. 100% man. Without corruption in his spirit. That's what I believe. Without corruption in his spirit, he was born as a baby. 100% God. 100% human. He had to rely on the Holy Spirit, so he was still God inside, a human outside. And the Holy Spirit was helping him and leading him through. It's a bit like us. Journey starts somewhere. Always starts somewhere. With God it was he was born, and straight from there, that was the beginning of it. But then he was introducing Jesus as God, humankind, to the Father. Does it make sense to you? I can't explain any better. Humankind then become to know the Father through Jesus Christ. So when we accept Christ in our hearts, when we recognize that he is God and he has died for us and the sacrifice was paid, this is what this Bible speaks about being born again. It's like being born again. It doesn't matter of your age. It doesn't matter of the stage of your life. God is still older than us. He can still call us a son. He's been God for many years. And which means forever. And you know, and if you even look at now in the stage of me comparing myself to Jesus, I'm like a baby, you know, he's an eternity, he's eternal God. I can call him Father. That is so amazing. So Christ became, he fulfilled the law. Oh, that's great. I have pages numbers. I was clever enough to number them because those things happened to me. I become too animated and things start flying around. Jesus became a door. John 14:6 says it, and I'm basing it on the scripture. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. From now on, you have known him and seen him. Since Christ came to earth, he revealed Father in himself. His love revealed who God is in himself. He said, now you know me, if you really, really know me. He puts emphasis on it. He became a door. You know, many religions, they would explain things. But when it comes to Christ, not many will recognize that he is God. And without that, you can't be born again. Unless you recognize Jesus as God. And he sacrificed on the cross. No matter how you cut it, you will come across it at some point. I talked to some Muslims. And everything is alright until the point when they have to recognize that Christ is actually God. Jesus is God. And they can't do it. It needs special revelation. We are blessed to have these revelations. We are blessed to actually communicate this to other people. So they can come and know God. The same way we do. I know it's my heart burning for it. I just want to see Walt say it. Knowing God is a walking and a working process on a daily basis. It's like any other relationship you have, living relationship, a live relationship you have with one each other, with the person who lives with you, with the person you meet, who is your friend. It's a living relationship, it's a process. My wife describes it really well. She said it's a journey. It is a journey. I've been Christian for maybe, I'm in my 20s being Christian. You know, but it's been up and down. I won't lie to you. I want to be honest. It wasn't the beginning, oh yes, God. It's incredible, and then I never ever doubted again. That's not true. I did doubt. I did kind of swung to the right and to the left, thinking, is this God speaking? Is this not God speaking? Why is this happening in my life? It's normal, because we're human beings. But we have Jesus Christ, and we have Holy Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, come bring me back to the beginning, if it's necessary. Holy Spirit, teach me the hidden things of God. I want to know Him closer. You have a help on this earth. The journey doesn't stop there when you become Christ. Otherwise, when you met Christ, otherwise, God would say, okay, you're saved now. Booms, and you're gone to heaven. No, journey only starts there, on this earth. But it's something different. Where's my page? 1 Corinthians 13:11, I think it greatly describes it. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. It's 1 Corinthians 13:11. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of a childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as a mirror. By the way, mirror in those days were not as clear as they are now. That's why it's brought as an example. You kind of look like through the fog. You're about to just see yourself. Yeah? Then we shall see face to face. Then we shall see face to face. Later on. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And John 3, from 1 to 21, I won't read this, but that's the story about Nicodemus, and how Jesus says you need to be born again. So when you're born, your journey starts. You're like a kid or a baby being born. It's something about the kids, children. Those who gave birth, those who have children, you know about this. Those who don't have it yet, you yet to experience. But baby actually can recognize the voice of a parent when it's still in the womb. It can hear it. It doesn't know the location because sometimes it hears it, sometimes it knows. Mommy keeps moving for some reason because she's alive. And yeah, but then the baby gets born and they can start seeing with the eyes and hearing it clear through the ears. Each time I would go and about 2-3 months later, maybe 4 months later, you look at the baby and they give you a smile back. They're happy to see you. Because they recognize the voice, now they can see you, now they can experience you, now you're touching them, you picking them up. They can feel your love. They can feel your body warmth. You know, mommy, when baby comes, mommy puts it down, the baby, to her heart, and they start hearing the heartbeat. It's like us hearing the heartbeat of God. You know, when you feel distracted, distressed, it's like God is lifting you up, putting on his chest, and you feel this embrace, and it's the safest place to be. That's the best I could describe. That's what happens when you get born again. You get born into the family. You get born and you can hear God. And you're becoming to know His heartbeat. You're becoming to know, get familiar with His voice. You're born in a certain country. You're born where there's a certain language spoken. And that's the way of maturity. That's the way of becoming to know God. My boys, they didn't stay the same size. They can reach in the fridge now. And you can see the fridge is getting empty all the time. You just been shopping and it's half empty by the end of the evening. That means my boys, they're growing. They can now get their own food. They don't only drink milk, but they like meat as well. That's the maturity. When you're growing with God, you start munching on different things from the Bible. You're saying, crumbs, I read this verse, but now I understand it. When you know your God, you start understanding Bible. Yes, even Old Testament you understand. Yes, even in this Leviticus you understand stuff. Even Numbers you start understanding. Because you know your God. You know, my boys, as they grow older, they start discovering their own character, but they're discovering my character as well. They know we clash at times. And they know their father is quite like an army man. Ask my wife, she will tell you. I stay firm on things. I'm not always right. I do apologize. But my point is, God, He's been living longer than any of us. He's not going to change. Because Bible says God is the same yesterday, today and forever. Guess who's going to change? Who has to change? Me. Not you, you probably are right. But I have to change. Hallelujah. I'm sure I'm off my notes now. Anyway. You know, when you're growing in a certain country, we're learning certain language. And we are discovering language of heaven. We're discovering where our God is. We're discovering how to pursue Him. We're discovering that faith is not just by the feelings. Sometimes maybe you don't feel like He's putting you on His heart, on His chest anymore. Sometimes you feel that this, you don't feel, sometimes I feel when I'm preaching, I feel the anointing. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes when I pray for people, for miracles, they happen, I don't even feel anything. But people get healed. Or sometimes I feel so overwhelmed by His presence that I just can't stop laughing. And I just laugh at person, and they think I'm laughing at them. I'm not, I'm just full of joy, but they get healed. Then it gets contagious. Somebody else gets started laughing. And one lady in Ukraine, I just have to throw it in. Me and Debbie, we went to Ukraine and Richard. And there was this lady, she said, I have a back pain. But by the time she made it, she was laughing. I was laughing, she was laughing. It's just like a joy. Contagious joy. And by the time she sat in front of me, I said, where does it hurt? She said, it doesn't hurt. She laughed her pain out. That's brilliant. That's the Holy Spirit work. This is how God touches people, you know. The joy comes for the Holy Spirit. I have grew up in a house where my dad wasn't a believer, he was a communist. I probably told you that story before. He was a communist and he didn't believe in God. My mom, she always had the faith, but she couldn't kind of show it out, because in the communist regime, you can't really express yourself. My grandma, she was a believer in a way that she would go to church all the time. And she blessed and taught me how to pray Our Father, Holy Mary prayers and stuff like that. So every night when I stayed with them, I had to confess those prayers. So I knew it, Our Father, probably when I was 5. It's a good thing, it's a good foundation. But then it becomes kind of like a motion thing. And I would go with her to church, and I would sit there quietly, and it's really, really traditional church. I can't even compare it here to any churches that I've been to in England. It's a Russian Orthodox, it's a really traditional church. So it became, when I grew up and I became a teenager, I was a broken teenager, and very naughty boy. And I was going to the church twice a year, on Christmas and Easter. I knew that I was a sinner at that point. I knew I had been going to church and church cannot fix it. That's the difference between living relationship, knowing God, and just having emotionless, or just kind of going on and on the same thing. It's just emotion. That's not a relationship, that's religion. Pharisees did not recognize Jesus. Sadducees did not recognize Jesus. And they were teachers of the law. Our Father prayer is a beautiful prayer. But if it's the only prayer, there's no living relationship. Psalms, wonderful. I pray, sometimes I speak Psalms. Sometimes when I play guitar at home, I just switch to worship and I just sing. And I find myself singing Psalms. But that's not living relationship. God wants to talk to you face to face. He is Holy God, that's right. But He wants to talk to a son and a father. He wants to have a chat. Sometimes He just wants to be you to come to His presence. Those moments, those presence of God is so powerful and so amazing. I can't help myself, but I want to just kind of share it with you as well. It was this moment that I treasured for my life. I had few of them in my life. Not every day, but I do have them few. I was pastoring in a church in Ukraine and I was sitting in the kitchen. Dave was in that kitchen. It used to be really kind of color, lemon color. I love bright colors. I'm not sure my wife was agreeing with it, but that color was really bright. And I used to sit there in the morning, just read my Bible and just pray. And just have my coffee, cup of coffee. That's how I started my day, opening a Bible. And you look through the window, you can see in distance hills, you can see the mountains, and you can see the stream there, you know. I would open my window, and it was summer day. I remember I opened my window and I sat there, and then morning sun came out and it comes from behind the mountains. It's really nice when it comes and it shone in the room. And because it was yellow bright, it just kind of light bounces from the walls and it become really bright in there and it's lovely. And you kind of think, is that glory of God or is it just the light? But it was just the sun. But anyway, so I'm sitting there and it was just this moment when I didn't pray. I stopped reading Bible and I just stopped myself. And I just start experiencing this peace filling the room. Like the light before it filled the room, this peace filled the room. I couldn't move. It was kind of so precious that I couldn't even talk. I just sat there. And that point, it was such a close presence of God, so amazing, that I felt like Jesus was going to ask me for a cup of coffee. I didn't even dare to say anything. I just wanted to be there. Sometimes those moments, that's the relationship, that's when you know your God. Sometimes when you know a person, you don't even want to talk to them. You just love being next to them. I absolutely love it when my wife reads the book and I just sit there. Seriously. We don't talk. And she sometimes would share things. God wants you to have a chat heart to heart. And He wants to share His secrets with you. This is how we get revelation. Revealing something that is hidden. People don't know it. Revelation. You reveal something that is hidden, that is covered. And that's how God opens up things. In the Bible it speaks in Psalms, God reveals those who He loves, His secrets, His mysteries. Don't you want to know His mysteries? Don't you want to know what is in the heart of God every day? Yes, there are times when you probably never go through them, but I did. You know, this, I'm describing this moment, this amazing moment, and it was. But God kind of sets you up for it. It's like Moses, he saw the burning bush. It's like Gideon, when he saw the leather was on the ground, and the whole ground was wet, and the leather was dry, skin. And then it was the other way around. Remember that story? That's what the Bible says. There's different things in the Bible you'll find. Moses had to see burning bush and had to see the snake from his rod coming up. Why? Because he was about to face the Pharaoh. He was about to face trials. He was about to face the problems. Why did Lazarus was resurrected? Did you ever think about it? That Jesus was gracious to resurrect Lazarus? Because later on, not long ago after that, he died on the cross. And there was a hope for his disciples that he's going to resurrect. He's going to come back to life. And I remember knowing this close presence of God. And after that I've been for a year in a dry season. I went through difficult times, difficult situations. But then you know, and you have assurance, when you know your God, He's still there. Even if you don't feel Him, even if you're stressed at the moment, you still know He's still there for you. Because that's what the Bible says, that's faith, that's maturity. There's no babyish anymore. That's the time to get unstuck from this vicious circle. They're going on and on and on in your life. That's time to move on. You can't go back looking at it and say, oh, I remember how things used to be. Wonderful. There's memorial stones like Israelites. They will cross the river. They will cross the Red Sea. They will build this altar, but there was no place to camp there. They had destination to go to. They have destination to go to. We have journey to be on with our God. Get to know His character more. Get into deeper relationship with God. He has a lot more in store for us. Yes, amen. We each are one of us on a different stages of our journey with God. I do appreciate that. You know, you're a lot more mature than I am. Some of you struggle, and I would like today so we can pray for it. Sometimes you just need refreshing. But that's why we are as a family. You know, when I would struggle, I would like to know that there is somebody who can stand next to me and say, look, it's okay. Let's just pray. Let's just walk through it together. Somebody can rely on. Somebody who's not going to judge me. I know we have Christ in it, but we have each other as brothers and sisters. Isn't it wonderful? You know, when I was a kid, I would run on the streets. I never walked, I always ran. That's probably who Samuel taking after. And I would come back and my knees were kind of bleeding, you know. And my mom didn't say, "Oh, you stupid child." She said, "Come here, let me wash it off, and then put some painful medicine on it." You remember iodine? I was covered in it. This has nothing to do with the preaching, but I need to share the story because it's funny. This is, we had cats. We had two big cats. And in Ukraine you get rid of cats when they're babies. So they were all two cats pregnant. So we ended up with 12 kittens. Plus two big cats, it's 14 cats. I mean, we have a big yard and detached house and everything back in Ukraine. And so they were sleeping on the dry hay. And I was the one, the only little kid who could go up there and have a look. Mom said, "How many of them?" And I was feeling sorry for these kittens. I said, "You know, I know the destination. They're not going to end up alive later on." So I said to her, "Oh, it's about 3 or 4. Mom said, "Oh, we can cope with that." Until they all came down. And descended. And mom was bringing a 3 liters bottle of milk for one go to feed them, you know. And they were jumping everywhere. And me and my cousins, we were playing with them one day. And it was all nice and lovely. But then by the time my mom came back home, we were all scratched all over faces and stuff. I can't tell you how painful it was to have all this iodine on me. Guys, sometimes you feel that you're so badly scratched. And it's so stinging. And you know, when God touches you, sometimes it feels it's really painful. But if you have a pimple or something growing there, it has to be broken out. It has to be squeezed out. It has to be dealt with properly. And then all you have left is a scar, which is beautiful, which is a reminder of when God healed you. But just pray, eh? Father God, I just bring this lovely people before you. Even those who struggle, who've been through difficult times and situations. Jesus, I just pray that you lift us up. And I pray even from today, there will not be any more just motion kind of situation that we come and we even sing songs, we don't even mean them. But Father, it will be a living relationship. There will be restoration and refreshment of the Holy Spirit again in a relationship with you. That we will get to know your heart, to know your face, Jesus. They will get to know you personally, intimately. Through up and down through our lives, Father, we will start recognizing you being there. You were the one who would bring this painful iodine, word of God, and we just chopped us up a bit, but then would heal us as well. You have a healing properties. You're like a nurturing mother, Holy Spirit. And I just pray this blessing over us, over this church, that we will only go deeper and deeper and deeper in you. Every relationship, when it's worked out through the problem, through the difficulties, gets deeper. And if you're in this situation now, you're about to go deeper in God. Open your heart. Just open your heart. Holy Spirit, come. Come and touch us. Come and work in us, Lord Jesus. Come on. You're so good. We trust you and we love you so much, Lord. And Father, those who don't understand your love just yet, I just pray that they would start experiencing this love and this touch of the Holy Spirit. This gentle, gentle presence which is this morning here. So thankful for it. We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name. If you need a prayer a bit more in depth, just come and talk to them. Come talk to myself and find somebody who you can trust. Let them pray with you for new refreshment. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God bless you. Jesus loves you, so do I. Be blessed. Amen.